Today I'm speaking to Luca Saderni from Napoli, Italy. He currently lives in Lyon, France, and speaks seven languages. He speaks all five most popular Romance languages, English, and he currently learns German. He made his hobby to his profession and developed a language learning app, or he was the co-founder of the language learning app Mozalingua, which has grown in popularity quite a lot in the past few years, and it now reaches over 2 million people. Luca, thanks so much for participating.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Gabriel.
I'd structured this interview in two parts. We first start with general questions, and then I'd like to talk a bit more about the app Mozalingua and the principles behind it. So first of all, I've read up on you a bit, and you say that motivation is the most important factor when learning a language. I totally agree. And I know that there was one point where you started to be motivated learning English, which was when you went to Amsterdam. So how did that come about, and why did you become motivated, and what did you do when you returned from Amsterdam?
Yeah, sure. So, well, I really think that motivation is like the key factor. I like to define it as the fuel to learn a language, because you know you really need a lot at the beginning, and then you also really need to have the tank full when you're in the process of learning a language. And to me, you know, in Italy we always say that when I was studying in high school, that it was very important to master English, and you know, it's really important for your job life and so on. But it's only when I started to travel abroad, for example, going to Amsterdam, to other cities in countries in Europe, that I realized that I was missing something, because I was meeting people and I realized that they were able to communicate and truly connect thanks to languages, thanks to the power of language. And for example, already English is really, really important when you travel abroad. And then traveling more, I also realized that speaking the local language, it's really something amazing, because when I was in Brazil, the fact that I was able to speak Portuguese was really something which helped me to connect with people over there. So I really think that for the languages I have learned, when I had a strong motivation, the process went fast. So it was really quicker for me to learn the language, and it was also more a pleasure for me, because every time I knew why I was doing these efforts and so on.
So basically, how you get the motivation is by going to these countries and realizing it would be so much better if you could speak the language, like it was the case in...
Well, actually, you know, so far I've learned, let's say five languages, and now I'm learning German. And for each of them, I had different motivations, you know. So it's, for example, for Spanish, it was more work related, because I was working with some Spanish partners. For Portuguese, it was really the love for the country and for Brazilian culture, because I really like Brazil and Brazilian people. So every time it was different. English, it was job related, but especially to take advantage more of my trips when I was traveling abroad. So every time it was different. For French, for example, it was more related to the fact that I had the opportunity to go up to study for during two terms in university in Bordeaux. So every time is different, but really the point is that when we have a strong motivation and you really know why you want to learn that language, then everything is easier. Everything is really easier.
Okay, then let's go to the different motivations. I'd like to start, because you mentioned it, you went to France for Erasmus. And how did that help you with getting the motivation, and how did that help you also with learning the language itself? Because I have a very similar experience. I also went to France, and for Erasmus to Toulouse, and it also sparked my interest in French. So I'd like to hear a little bit more about your experience and how it helped you with learning French.
Well, first of all, I think it really helped me to have a deadline and to have a strong project when I started to learn French, because you know my surname is Sadurny, so because I have French roots, but I was well. I spoke no French at all when I won the you know the when I had the news that I had to leave for France and had this amazing opportunity to go for the Erasmus project. So it was I think it was March, April, and I knew that in September I had to start attend my first lessons and classes in a language that I didn't speak at all. So okay, it's not so different from Italian, I know, but you know, when you have to study and to understand and to take notes, for example, when you're studying or when you're attending a class, well, it's a different game. So you really have to get by in the language and master it. So I started to learn, and so the first thing is that I had a strong motivation and I had a deadline. So it was really the first language I taught myself. So I started with at that time, so the internet was not so developed, you know. So I was using in high school book CDs, you know, more traditional methods. And of course, well, I was using when I say that it was not so developed, is that you know I was able to access like French music, French TV with TV Cinq Monde and the other resources, but there weren't so many platforms to learn a language online, so it was less interactive. But the thing is that I was so motivated and so enthusiastic that I finished a book that normally high school students in Italy study in 3 or 4 years, and I finished it in 4 or 5 months. And at the end of the day, when I was in France, when I had my first conversation in France, I was able to understand to speak, and no one believed me when I said I started 5-6 months ago. And I really think that I'm not very gifted for languages. I need a lot of effort and so on, but it was really that strong motivation that was pushing me towards the goal, the final goal.
So having a deadline, for instance, going abroad for a longer period of time, or even for a shorter period of time, I assume, is what really helps you to be motivated to learn that language.
Yeah, now it's more like you said, it's a hobby, it's a passion of mine. So I don't really need a deadline or something very, very strong, because, for example, I'm learning German because I really like, the whole system of the language. So mathematical, logical, also I like the sound. So I don't have any deadlines. It's just for fun. And because I want to challenge myself, because as you said, I have learned only Romance languages so far. So it's the first time I learn a language which is really different from Italian, from French, and so on. So it's more, how can I say, it's the motivation can be different. But for example, if I have to give another trick, it's that when you want to set a deadline, another thing which can really push you is when your reputation or your money are at stake. For example, when I learned English, I remember that I was struggling because I was not very happy about the results, because I had been studying for 12 years and I was not able to study, because in Italy the teaching methods are not really good. And then I decided that I had to have results. I had really to learn that, because it's my number one goal. So I applied for an exam at the British Council. So it was first the first certificate and then the certificate in advanced English. And you know, you have to pay upfront. It's like it was like 130 euros at that time. It was a lot of money for me as a student. So I started 3 months before, and I can assure you that I studied every day and I passed the exam with a very good grade. So because I had that over. Another thing can be, you know, like your reputation. And for example, what I do for with now I'm using that trick because, for example, when I start to learn a new language, I tell that on the blog, I publish videos, and I tell this to our users and our visitors, the visitors of our blog. And so for me, it's like, now I have to learn German. I cannot fail. Okay, I can give myself a lot of time because, you know, I don't have to live in Germany and I don't have like a very strict deadline. But I know that one day I want to speak fluently German and I have to achieve that result. And everyone can do that, for example, using Facebook or using other tools. So, I read an article about the power of, I read a book which is very, very interesting, and I really advise people on reading it. The name is The Willpower Instinct. So it's a very interesting book because it analyzes why we do the things we do and how to improve our willpower, our to increase that. And one thing which is really, really interesting in the book is that at one point the author explains that many people are pushed by other people's actions. For example, one example which is really interesting is the fact that they were conducting a survey in a neighborhood, and they were asking if they would save some water and some electricity to save the planet, for the ecology and for this kind of stuff. And they asked the first time, and people were saying, okay, no, I'm not doing that. But when they said that everyone in the neighborhood was doing that, they started to save up more and so on. So it's really this power of, for example, studying with many people. For example, if you have a little group of people, it really can push you because you have a common motivation. You know that other people are doing it, and you don't want to say, okay, we started together, I failed, and you became fluent in that language. So it's really this power of, and I really think that this mechanism of our psychology or our mind are really, really powerful. And I'm trying to use them even when I study a language or when I have other goals.
Yeah, that's a very good idea. That it's, first of all, you're accountable for learning that language. And second of all, there's peer pressure. It's also what, I don't know if you heard, Kirsten Cable does. She posts on social media to hold herself accountable to actually learning that language. So it's a little bit like, not exactly, but New Year's resolutions. When you tell everybody that you're going to do that, they're less likely to fail because you told everybody and you don't want to be like, oh, I failed again or whatever. So you're holding yourself accountable to it.
Yeah, especially, you know, with colleagues, well, especially with your coworkers, you don't want to say, okay, I gave up, and, you know, it's like your image, your public image is a little bit.
Exactly.
But so, yeah, it's very powerful, I think.
Definitely. And going back to the different motivations for languages, you learned Romanian because your wife is Romanian. And I always hear that's a great factor, that's a great motivation to actually learn the language for your partner. But I know people that tried but didn't succeed because their partner didn't have enough patience, or for many different reasons, or they thought the language is too difficult. So I know actually more couples where it didn't work than couples where it worked, even though it's such a strong motivator. So I'd like to know, how did you succeed with that? How were you able to motivate yourself to learn that language for your, or to be able to communicate with your wife in Romanian?
Yeah, so actually it was, I realized at some point that it was really necessary for me to learn that language to talk with her family. So it was a really strong motivation for me, and I didn't have a lot of difficulty to ask them to talk with me in Romanian and so on, because, you know, I think it's something which is common to people speaking the so-called minor languages. I don't like the definition of minor languages, but let's say that to be understood. So in Romania, when you go to Romania and you speak their language, I can assure you, you are the star. You are like a superhero because they really appreciate it. Because, you know, when you want to learn German, when you want to learn English, these are very popular language. And so, for example, you as a German guy, you're used to people who want to learn German. Or me, Italian is such a popular language. So I'm not very surprised. But when you speak, for example, in Slovak or in Romanian, so they are so surprised and so happy. That it's really something unbelievable when you and again you can truly connect with them because you speak their language. So I think that also it was for me the key to, you know, to understand more and to understand the culture of that country and the culture of my wife, her language, and so on. So it was not very, very hard for her. In my household, we speak three languages actually, because we are like making a rule that we don't have to mix in the same sentence the three languages because it's very, very hard. And now it's easier because we have a strong motivation because I have a son and I'm trying to raising my son as a trilingual child, so Romanian, French, and Italian. So now we have rules. So everyone has to speak his native language. We have rules when we speak the three of them. But it was very for us it was hard to have some discipline and to speak. You know, okay, now we only speak French. We only speak Italian because the couple language is French because we met in France, so it was like the language at the beginning. In my case, it was not so difficult to speak Romanian with her. But I have to say that it's easier when we are in Romania, when we have visits from her friends or her family. In that case, well, we speak 100% Romanian. When we are, well, in the ordinary life, well, it's more like French and Italian. So I can understand that sometimes the partner can have some difficulty. I think that everything is in communication. For example, I made very clear to my wife that for me it was important to speak Romanian, that I had no time because I think it's the only language I really picked up from her. So I didn't study at all. I have no books. I have no application. I have nothing. So I really used only the conversation I had with her. I read, I watched a lot of movies and this kind of stuff, unconventional stuff. But I had no traditional study. And if I had to give a piece of advice is asking your partner, no, making clear that it's really, really important for you to speak the language, and she or he can really be the number one source of that language. And it really works because I learned like that, and it was amazing to be able to communicate in that language without a lot of efforts, I have to say.
And when did you start speaking to your wife, like in Romanian? When did you say, okay, now let's speak everyday Romanian, or now let's speak 10 minutes Romanian a day? When did that start?
Well, I think that, at the beginning I was trying, and I think that when I reached a level, let's say a H2 B1 level, when, you know, a conversation was pleasant, was natural, was fluent, I think that she started to use the language more often. I didn't establish like a rule or something very, very precise. It was more, she realized that with her friends, at some points, I think that her friends switched from English to Romanian. So because Because even if my Romanian was far from perfect, very far from perfect, I was making a lot of mistakes, but their friends understood my will to learn the language. So they say, okay, now stop with English because now you can understand. And I think it's we can have a conversation. You will make mistakes, so no problem. And when she realized that I was able to communicate, even with a lot of imperfection, a lot of mistakes, and so on, I think that she started to use the language. And actually, I have to say, because I really, well, I know that some people are not very happy about mistakes, about imperfection, about people laughing at, you know, things that you say in a language when you're in the process of learning it. But I was really laughing with them because, you know, as they are Romance languages, my first instinct was to, let's say, Italianize some terms, no, use some Italian terms and saying that like with a Romanian look or something like that or sound. And it was, well, I created some expression really, really funny and so on. So I have to say that you also have to, I think that if my wife realized that I was like ashamed or maybe I was really pissed off when people were laughing at me, I think that she would have stopped to speak with me in Romania. But she understood that for me it was a game and I was really cool about that. So, and actually, I think that at some point she was writing down all the words I was making up and was creating. So, and from time to time we read them and they're very, very funny.
Okay. And I guess you needed some practice to speak before you actually spoke to your wife. Like, who did you practice? Like you said, you were watching movies and films and stuff, but how did you practice speaking itself before starting to speak with your wife and with the family of your wife?
Yeah, I think the first process was, you know, when I was listening, I was like observing the language. I was trying to read because actually for that language, well, the phonetics and the sounds are quite different from the languages I master. But when you read it, it's very similar. And I also studied Latin in high school. And well, it's really nice because some words like, I don't know, nocte, for example, which is night, it's really similar to noctis nocte, no? Which is in Latin. So I think that I gained a lot of confidence when I was able to read some newspapers, some basic texts, and so on. So I think those first steps, I was like observing the language, listening a lot, and then I started to play with the language with, you know, some basic expressions. I was making some jokes because I like to observe people when they speak, and there are some peculiar expression that anyone has in different languages. And so I started like a game, and then, well, yeah, I think that the first real conversation I had, it was with her friends. It was with her friends because for her, the difficulty, and I think that it's a difficulty that many people can have, was the switching from a language to another. So, for example, my wife really speaks really good Italian. She even picked my accent from my city. A simple language, which was French,
okay,
the natural language. So
you were lost there for like 10 seconds. You said
okay.
You picked up she picked up your accent, and then?
Yeah, so even though she mastered the language, it was very hard for her to switch from our couple language, so French, to Italian, because, you know, you're used to it. So I can understand that for some couples it can be a challenge. But again, I think if you make clear that it's a very important goal for you, it will work.
Okay. And so now you said you learned Latin in high school, which means that you know the main five Romance languages and you also learned Latin. How do you distinguish between them? How do you make sure, like, do you sometimes speak one language and then use words from another? How do you separate them?
Yeah, I'm really fascinated by that topic and by the fact that our mind is really powerful. I can really distinguish between languages. So what I observed from my experience is that when one of the languages I'm learning, especially Aram's language, is weak, then, well, I can confuse it themselves. And this happened when I was learning, you know, when I was learning Portuguese, I think, well, I was still improving my Romanian, and also I had Spanish, a strong Spanish. So the fact was that while Portuguese was like a weak language for me, it was really at the beginning, like A1, A2 level. It was very hard for me because, you know, I had like Romanian words, I have Spanish words, and so on. But when I reached like more a B1, B2 level, well, then it's like our mind at some point when you really, well, let's say that at B2, you can say that you master the language. You are far from perfect, but, you know, you can do whatever you want in the language. So I observed that this is really, you know, like something which is important. When you reach the B2 level, then you can even forget a little bit. You can lose some words. You can even, you know, not be so fluent, but then you can really recover the language very, very fast. And also if you have similar languages, if they are like at B2 level, you are not going to confuse the languages. And it's really like your mind is in, you have separate parts. And so I'm really, really fascinated. But yeah, it can happen. So that's why I say that it's not a really good idea to learn at the same time two similar languages, because many people ask me, especially here in France, oh, you're from Italy, what do you think about the fact of learning Italian and Spanish at the same time because they are too similar? Well, in my opinion, it's a really, really bad idea. Mm-hmm. It's better Italian and German, better, you know, Italian and Japanese, but never Spanish, because otherwise you're, especially at the beginning, it's so frustrating when you mix up the language. So I don't think it's a very good idea.
Yeah, so learning one to B2, or at least until you feel comfortable, and then only start the next language, and then you can separate with them, the two of them.
Yeah. Basically, I think it's a very good idea to do like that.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I also learned French and Spanish, and I can separate them now pretty well. I did learn them more or less at the same time, and it did get confusing. So definitely learn them in serial is much better. Yeah. All right, so let's get to the second part. You are the co-founder of Mozalingua, which is getting quite popular in those past few years. I've been hearing a lot about it. Maybe you can tell a bit more about this app and how it works.
Yeah, sure. So basically, Mozalingua is a mobile and web app, and we have a system of flashcards. And we use the space repetition system. So this is really the gist of the app, because our number one goal is to make users learn vocabulary very, very fast. So words and key sentences to get by in a language very fast. So the number one focus is the vocabulary. And we really found that using the space repetition system is really effective. I know that there are many language learners that, well, they don't really like the concept of flashcards, mm-hmm. So I can respect that. You can use different things, but whatever tool you're using, whatever, you know, resources you're using, I think that the space repetition system is really something which is very effective. Because to tell you, when I was studying French with very traditional methods like books, CDs, and so on, I was using, without knowing, a kind of repetition system, because I was like, you know, I reached, for example, unit 5, and then from time to time, every 2 weeks, I was also reviewing unit 1, 2, 3, 4. So I was having a system, but it was so time consuming, and also sometimes I forgot to do that. And now we have I think we are really lucky right now, because we have so many tools to learn a language, and the fact of having, you know, a system that can tell you, look, you're about to forget that word or that sentence, that concept. You need to review it today or maybe tomorrow. Well, it's really, I think we are really lucky because like that, we can really save up time. And especially, you know, for busy people, I think it's a really good opportunity. So this is the first aspect, like the gist of the app, the spaced repetition system and the flashcard. I would also like to say that we included the frequency lists in the app. So actually, we bought some lists from some researchers which studied the, you know, the occurrence of the words and sentences in the US series, so like TV shows and so on. So our app is really based, you know, on the speaking part. Maybe it's not the frequency list for the writing part, so the things that you can find in a book, but it's more the things that you're going to find in a common conversation, everyday life. So the order, like the process that we suggest and we have in the app, it's really based on the frequency list for people who want to speak. And then you have the second part, which is based more on our experience, because in our team, well, we are all language lovers. At least we speak three languages. I think it's like a very important criterion for us. You have to speak at least three languages because you have to understand what means to learn a language, to understand our users, to understand people who are maybe struggling to learn that and so on. So the second part is more the coaching part. So we really have a system to give you the motivation. So, you know, we are not like really, well, you can say that many people find the application fun and, you know, the exercise can be entertaining, but I don't think that is like the number one feature that we have. We are more in the motivation, in the effectiveness of the process. So we have a lot. You know, as we focus on vocabulary, then we have built a series of tips, of shortcuts to help you use that vocabulary. So, for example, we talk a lot about language exchange partners. We give tips to use other resources. So the vocabulary that you're learning, you can really use it very fast. And we also try to convey that message that learning a language has to be fun. So, for example, if you like movies, then watch movies in the original language. Whatever you like to do, try to do it in that language. And all the app, you know, you have like a teacher in the app, which is our main character in the teacher, and he's suggesting a lot of things. You unlock bonuses, and every time you unlock a bonus, you can have those tips and those things to learn and practice the language outside the app with the vocabulary that you're learning there.
So it's mostly an app to learn relevant vocabulary? Is that how I'm getting it?
Yeah, let's say that, you know, this is number one goal. So our idea is to give you the words and the key sentences to get by in a language as fast as you can. So this is number one thing. Then we also help you practice, and we give you tips to practice the language. But for example, in the app itself, you cannot practice a language. So as we want to focus on that main goal, because we won't be a very good app to do that, so to learn vocabulary and so on, we prefer to suggest other resources. Because, you know, as you know, because you learn languages, Gabriel, so you know that you don't use a unique tool, a unique app. You have more a system of tools and resources used, and with that you can make a lot of progress and also diversify a little bit of resources to have more fun and to have more diversity. So basically it's more to learn a vocabulary, but for us it's really the most important thing that you can do. You know, you have like having the words and the sentences, so like have the material to speak, and then the second step is to put that into practice. So we suggest resources to do that and to be able to speak and to practice. And well, in our method, we don't have a lot of grammar. So well, to be more precise, grammar really come in a second, in a second step. You know, you have like at the beginning you learn a lot of words, key sentences, and so on. And only when you're confident enough to make mistakes in language, you start to speak. Well, you can reinforce what you do with the. So at that point, we have like grammar pills, grammar drills, little lessons to understand what you're learning and why. What you have behind that sentence, for example.
And you mentioned the spaced repetition system, which is a well-known scientific principle to learn vocabulary quicker. I know there are other scientific principles that you have integrated into the app. Can you talk about those as well?
Yeah, sure. So, well, first one is this one based on the forgetting curve, but as you said, it's very popular, so I'm not going to stress it more. Then the second one is the what we call the active recall. You know, because I know that there are many products and many language resources which use you know, the recognition of, for example, you have different images and then you have to recognize the name, how you say that in German, in English, in Spanish, and so on. Or you have to match two images, two texts, and so on. Well, this can work. I'm not saying that it doesn't work, but we found studying researches and many findings about the active recall, we discovered that actually when you have to take a word or a sentence out from your mind, well, it's really more effective because, you know, your brain is more active as you're like reactivating the connections between the different parts of your brain. So it's actually better when you do an exercise like we suggest in Mosalingua, like, you know, you have the word, for example, in German, and you have to guess how can you say that word in English or in Spanish? In French? Because it's like when you're speaking. When you're speaking, you're trying to express your thoughts. And so you have to take that word from your brain wherever the word is stored. So we don't know, but wherever it's stored, you have to take out that word and use it. So that's why we are more in the what we call the active recall. And we found many researchers saying that it's better like when you have this active recall. Mm-hmm. Then another principle that we have is what we call the metacognition. So it's something which is it's really interesting because, you know, some users, well, now they are the minority, but at the beginning they were saying, because, you know, in our app you have to evaluate yourself. So, for example, you know, it's like in a normal flashcard app, so you have to say, okay, it was hard to remember that word, it was easy, and so on. So some users were saying, okay, but how can I do that? It's a little bit hard for me. So at the beginning, we know, so we have like some tutorials to explain how to do that in a proper way, and so on. And actually, we discovered that it's better when you evaluate yourself and when you are in the process of saying, okay, I'm improving, okay, this is my level right now. Then if you compare that when a teacher or a tutor, an outside person, is saying, okay, you're doing well, you're doing better, and so on, because it's like you're more involved in the process. You're really more involved. And it's also, if you, I don't know if you have some experience with tutors and so on, but for example, when I a long time ago, I was having classes, online classes with a tutor for Spanish, and she told me it's amazing the results that you're doing in Spanish, that you're achieving. But my explanation is that actually because you're working on your own, you're making efforts on your own. Because for the students I have that they only want to learn with me, like during this conversation, well, they are progressing, they are having results, but the progress curve is really, really different and it's really, really slow. So I really think that when you are more active in that process, it can work. It can work better. Then, you know, as I said, it's also a fact that It's really important, the motivation and the psychology of the person who is learning the language. So we really worked on the fact that the person has to be motivated, has to know why it's learning a language. That's why in the process that we have, we are regularly raising the interest for the language and trying to keep that motivated at the level which is enough to move forward and to get results. Mm-hmm. And then another principle, and I can conclude with that, is let's say it's more, usually speaking, it's more applied to economy, but to society, but you can apply that to every topic and domain. It's the Pareto principle. So our idea is to really that you can really learn a language using shortcuts, and that you can learn especially at the beginning when you want to get by it, to have a basic level, to learn the 20% to get by in 80% of the situations. So that's why we have those frequency lists, and you learn before, during the first step, the most useful stuff, avoiding all the grammar or the concepts which are more complicated, which are useful, but you can put for another step, you can really put off for later.
Yeah, I actually think the Pareto principle, in my opinion, is one of the most important ones for learning a language quickly. Because in school, you learn everything to be able to say everything perfectly. And obviously, this takes decades. But if you, why do you need the animals of the zoo or stuff that you never will use? So only learning exactly the things that you need at this very moment, you'll learn them very quickly, and therefore you can use the language very quickly. So I think I think that's where most programs or schools go wrong. So I think it's a great thing that you implemented this into your app.
Yeah, I really agree with you. And if I can give you a last example of what you said, for example, in Italy, we insist a lot, I spent 2 months studying the difference between the past simple and the present perfect in English, okay? It was really something which was blocking me, because every time I had to speak about the past, I was thinking, should I use the present perfect and past simple? And then I met some American guys, and they were using the past simple all the time. So I said, wow, we are crazy in Italy. What we are doing, everything is wrong about teaching languages. So it's really, as you said, zoo animals, or all the colors, all the things. Yeah. Well, at the beginning, you don't really need that.
Yeah, totally. It bogs me up. Why do you need to know, to start speaking, why do you need to know 5 different forms of the past? Just use one until you feel comfortable, and then you can learn the next one. So it's really weird.
You end up knowing grammar better than a native speaker. Yeah. Really crazy.
Yeah. And I have one more question. I know that you did some research, or that you worked with learning words while sleeping. So there's some research going on. It's a topic that I'm researching at the moment myself. So I'd like to know what your results were and how you plan to integrate that in MozaLingua in the future.
Yeah, sure. So we were, we were very interested in the subject, because everything started for us reading two very interesting studies. One of them was conducted by the University of Fribourg. And so they discovered that there is a possibility to learn a language, to retrieve information that you learned during your waking time. You can maybe activating that during your sleep could ease the job. So we got inspired from those studies, and last September we started an internal study with a part of our users. And it's a little bit hidden in our app, because at that time we didn't want to have a mainstream thing. So we have a free hand mode, so you can learn language listen up all the words and sentences while you're running or you're sleeping. And then there is a small beta feature You can put a timer. You can set up a timer, and with that timer, you can learn during sleep. So we asked our user if they were willing to join us in that adventure, and it was very, very interesting. I did the experience myself because I love languages, so I really wanted to do that. And what we discovered is that, and which is confirmed by all the studies that we read about and that I mentioned before, is that actually, well, it's you cannot, if you listen to words and sentences during your sleep, well, actually, you have no positive effects if you don't know the words and the sentences at all. So it's not like magic, you know. I see sometimes some program or some videos on YouTube, and they like promise that if you listen up during for 5 hours French, well, you wake up and you speak French. So it's not that easy, and I say it would not be that fun. So like that, because no effort, so no pain, no gain, no, yeah. As you say. But what we discovered, because we analyzed the performance of the user, so when they were using the sleeping mode and when they were not using, so we discovered that there is a reinforcing effect when you already know some words and sentences, and then you listen up that during the first phase of your sleep. So it's really so for the study we advised to put the timer not later than an hour of the usual sleeping time, because you have this first phase which is called the non-REM phase, when your brain can like is still active and you can stimulate it with some information. So they were listening to some words and sentences, and actually when we analyzed their performances in the app, it was easier for those users exposed to this sleep learning to recall the words, and so they improved their performances. So in a nutshell, what we discovered is, okay, it doesn't work when you don't know the language at all, and you don't know a word at all. But when you want to retrieve and to recall some information you already know, some words and sentences, it can help you. So this was a result that we had on a small sample of users. So right now what we are doing is that, well, the feature is still a little bit hidden, but we are like promoting it more for our users. So we are right now we are collecting all the data because we would like to have a larger sample and to publish a second, because now we publish an article, an infographic and some stuff, but we would like to have a second study with a larger sample. And also we are looking for a university to work with us, because we were inspired by two universities. So the Northwestern University and the Freiburg one, but now we would like to have also them involved in the process, because like that we can also publish in some, you know, scientific journals and have that. And we think that their knowledge and their skills, you know, merged with our big sample that we can have because we have a lot of users. Well, I think that we can end up with something very interesting and very useful.
So basically, for people that also want to try it out, either with your app or by themselves, it's to listen to words that they learned during their sleep to reinforce the words that they actually learned.
Yeah. That's the most effective thing that they can do, and they can try. Well, we have different results, and then we made an average. But generally speaking, for all the participants, we notice a reinforcement, so a positive effect.
Cool. This is it. Is there anything that I forgot to ask or you would like to add?
No, it was very, very interesting, and you had very interesting questions. So, well, nothing to add for me.
This was very insightful for me. It was interesting. I'm sure my audience will appreciate it as well. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Gabriel.
Okay.
Take care.